in all that we say. Each time we sing His praise. In every single action that we take. May we forever praise our God.
No! Testament book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 3, where God is going to show us how to stand alone with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this text is going to teach us all about. And friends, I believe that there is not a greater lesson in that needs to be learned today than this lesson, standing alone. For the simple fact that every child of Jesus Christ is a twice-born person living in a once-born world, and that means that you and I, as a child of God, we're going to be up against it most of the time. And so my prayer this morning is that this message will be a blessing to us. And I want to share with you about a man, an ancient Christian, whose name was Athanasius. Now, Athanasius was a bold, strong Christian, and he would take stands against what was going on in his world. And other people would say, well, he's arrogant, he's stubborn, he is narrow-minded. The emperor's name was Theodosius. And Theodosius said to Athanasius, Athanasius, the whole world is against you. Athanasius paused for a moment. He thought on what Theodosius had said. And then he said, well, I'll tell you this much. Then Athanasius is against the whole world. And friends, we Christians today ought to be standing against what this world is trying to do in the world in which we're living today. I've asked this question several times to you privately and also here publicly. Did you ever think you'd see a day when we would be living in a world where what is taking place today? I just happened to talk to Jimmy Skeen, and he said, if you'd have told me this when you first came in 2019, he'd have said, I never would have believed you. Well, friend, I can hardly believe it either. Can you? I want you to know something this morning. It takes courage to stand alone. And I believe as time moves closer to the rapture of the church, and that is hastening on very quickly, Christians in this world are going to discover more and more it is necessary to learn to stand alone in the day and age in which we're living. Listen to me, as this world grows darker, how much more necessary is it going to be to teach our children and our grandchildren to stand alone with Jesus Christ? Brothers and sisters, we need to learn to stand alone. And we need to teach our children and our grandchildren what it means to stand with and stand for Jesus Christ. And not out of stubbornness, not out of narrow-mindedness, not out of arrogance. That's not it at all. We must learn to stand alone simply because standing up for our faith in Jesus Christ and standing for what the Bible teaches is the right thing to do. And so we must learn to stand alone, to stand on the principles of God's holy word, and to stand for those things that are true, that are righteous, and that are just and holy altogether. Because these are the things that are going to last throughout all eternity. And this is what God expects his children to do. God expects it of me, and God expects it of you. And so when I come to the pulpit, I'm going to preach the Word of God. And I pray that you'll hear, that God will give you an ear to hear. And if you don't, that's on you. But I'm going to preach what God has told me to preach. And so I want to just share with you this morning from Daniel chapter 3. If you have your Bibles open, please rise to your feet as we read the first 7 verses. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Then the princes, the governors and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father God, we are living in a world such as we have never seen. But it is the time that the Bible speaks of in great detail. Lord, for many Christians, they never thought they'd see these days in their own lifetime. But Father, it is here and it has arrived. Because the prince of the power of the air, Satan himself, is hard at work, for he knows, but he has but a short time. And Father, it is going to be very important, and I believe you are already calling your people out. You are calling your people to stand up for what they believe in. Faith was never meant to be comfortable. Faith was meant to be something that we must stand up for and something that we must fight for. And so, Lord, we must remember that as a child of the living God, we are to stand with our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we are to stand for the truth of the Bible. And, Lord, we pray that every heart that is here would have an ear to hear and a heart to receive. And, Lord, may your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Now, this is a two-part message. And so we'll finish this message next week, but let me just share with you that we're talking about the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were thrown into the fiery furnace because they would not bow down and appease the God of their age. They would not worship that image. And they were thrown into the fire because they would not bend, they would not break, they would not bow. And then we also discover they would not burn. Yeah, they came out of that fiery furnace, and we all rejoice in that story, don't we? But brothers and sisters, this is not just simply a story of what God has done. It is a record of what God is doing, and it is not merely a record of what God has said. It is a record of what God is saying to us today. Now, friends, it is highly possible that we will find ourselves very soon in a fiery furnace. Some incendiary circumstances that are beyond our control because of the current political climate and the satanic ideology that is so prevalent in these United States at this present hour. It could mean that before long, we're going to find out that our faith is in the fire. And it's going to be necessary for us, like these young men of old, to stand alone. Now Nebuchadnezzar, as we talk about this, he was an egomaniac. He was a megalomaniac. He was stuffed full of his own self-importance. So great was his ego, so great was his self-worship, that he had an image made of himself. And the Bible tells us that he demanded that everyone would bow down and worship that image. And I want you to just try to picture in your mind this morning that gigantic image out there on the plains of Dura as it stood there like some missile on a launch pad. And I want you to hear the command that was given, that everybody is to bow down and worship that image or else you'll be thrown into a fiery furnace. And the Bible tells us that's all they needed. When the band struck up, thousands of people hit the dust, falling down in obeisance before that golden image. But there were three that day who would not bow. And because they stood alone, they were thrown into a fiery furnace. Now, this is not some old-time story. This carries great relevance for us today in this age in which we are living because Daniel, you see, is a book of prophecy. And in his book, he gives us a picture in the person of Nebuchadnezzar of the coming Antichrist. If you're not aware, there is coming a man who will one day rule the world as Babylon was ruled by Nebuchadnezzar. He will be the devil's Messiah. He is called by several different names in the Word of God. He is called the Beast, the Man of Sin, the Lawless One, the Wicked One, the Antichrist. And all of these are different names, descriptions of one incredibly wicked human being. And that person may be living right now, and they're one day going to rule the world during a period of time that the Bible calls the Great Tribulation. Now, how many of you have heard of a coming tribulation period? Raise your hand this morning. You've heard of it, right? We know what's happening. But friends, I want to share with you that for far too long now, Christians have been saying, well, what does that have to do with me? Now, I don't have to worry about the Antichrist, because I understand the Bible to teach when the Christians are taken out of the world at the rapture, then the Antichrist will come, and that's true. I believe that. But listen to what the Apostle John said in 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists. Did you get it? Many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. And God is simply saying to us, the more you see the spirit of the Antichrist that is in the world, and certainly promotion of the ungodly policies and values of our current political climate, with their great transition agenda moving us toward a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah world, Christians need to wake up and realize we are living very near to the end. Now, Nebuchadnezzar is a picture of the Antichrist himself. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refuse to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's image, and friends, you and I need to understand, the Bible teaches Christians are not to bow down to the God of this age, nor are Christians to appease those who reject the Bible, nor are Christians to just simply go along with the evil policies just to get along. Christians are not to be tolerant of evil. Christians are to stand against evil. Christians are to stand against those who promote and do evil. And so that just simply means that we're going to have to stand alone. And when we stand with Jesus Christ and learn to stand alone as these boys did, well, just imagine the fury they faced. Just imagine the pressures that they were under. But let's ask this question to help us understand, here with our understanding of how Nebuchadnezzar here in Daniel chapter 3 pictures and stands for the Antichrist. You see, there are a few interesting ways that the Bible teaches. For example, Nebuchadnezzar made an image of himself and told everybody, y'all gonna worship that image. And if y'all don't worship the image, y'all gonna die in a fiery furnace. Well, I want you to write down somewhere Revelation chapter 13. You write it down. Revelation chapter 13, verses 13 to 15. And just let me share with you. Now, this verse is speaking of the coming Antichrist. It's not speaking of Nebuchadnezzar. But this is what the Bible says. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven, this on earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Well, Nebuchadnezzar says, I got an image here. And if you don't worship it, you're going to be killed. Well, you mark this down. The Antichrist is coming. And he's going to make an image that's going to be more incredible than the one that Nebuchadnezzar made. And if these people at that time will not worship the image, that they're going to die, they're going to be killed. Well, an interesting use of the number 6 is used here in this chapter. For example, look with me again at Daniel 3:1, and I do pray you have your Bible open. The king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits. Well, how many is 60? Well, that's 60. Now you hang on to that number, and the breadth of it was what? 6 cubits. And so now we got 66. And how many pieces of orchestration were in the orchestra? Well, look with me at verse 5. And what time you hear the sound of the cornet, that's 1. Flute, that's 2. Harp, that's 3. Sackbut, that's 4. Psaltery, that's 5. Dulcimer, that's 6. And all through this thing, you're finding the number 666. Well, what is the number of the beast? The Antichrist is going to come. Revelation 13:18 gives us the answer. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, 666. Understand, God is saying to us that there was a man named Nebuchadnezzar, and he is a type, a picture, a prophecy of the coming Antichrist. He's an illustration for us. And it's right here in the Word of God so that none of us can dispute it. It's not my opinion, friend. It's what God is saying to us. Amen? And so one day the Antichrist is going to set up his image. And one day he'll use the number 666 to cause universal worship unto him. But in this day and in this age in which we now live, God is saying to us the spirit of Antichrist is already in this world. There are many antichrists. And if people in that day must learn to stand alone, how much more must you and I learn to stand alone in the day in which we're living? There's going to be incredible pressure exerted on Christians in the coming days. And we are already seeing the signs of that in America today. And this morning, I just want to outline for you that what Nebuchadnezzar did so long ago to try to get people to conform is what is happening in these United States today. And so the very first thing that he did is he created emotional enticement. Look with me again at verse 5. At what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image. The Babylonian orchestra began to play, and it was incredible music. Now, have you ever stopped to think, what does music do? Music touches the emotions. Music touches the emotions of people. Music is a gift of God. And we use music here in our church. And we got some great musicians. And we use music in our church to worship and to praise God. I don't think that the devil didn't know the power of music. Because I'll tell you that Satan is using music today like never before to enforce his diabolical plans upon this world. Satan is a master musician. And I want you to hear how God describes Satan in Ezekiel 28:13. This is what God has to say about the devil, about Satan. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. And God is simply telling us that Satan has tabrets of pipes in him. When he speaks, it's like majestic music. And his music can be hideously beautiful, or it can have a demonic beat. But it is Satan's tool, and he is using music as never before. For example, sometimes when I'm driving around and I come up to a stoplight, someone else pulls up next to me and their car's just reverberating and it's just a beating and they're listening to that stuff called rap music. And it's just full of obscenity. And some people watch and listen to MTV, which is nothing more than visual and musical pornography wed together. And Satan has captured a generation of people through music. And not one of us can deny that there is not emotional enticement in music. Well, that's one of the things that Nebuchadnezzar did. And that's one of the things that are happening not only in these United States, but all around the world. But there's something else that he did. He created an atmosphere of social inducement. Look with me. Daniel states in verses 2 and 3 that everybody was doing it. That's that doctrine of tolerance. Y'all go along to get along. Everybody doing it. And in verse 4, the herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages." Listen, everybody's going to be doing it. You be doing it too. And if you do not fall in line, if you do not step in time, if you do not do what you're told to do, you're going to be labeled. You're going to be canceled. You're going to look like an oddball. Friends, do you realize we are moving quickly and almost at the speed of light toward a one-world government? The America that we have known and loved for so long is being diluted. It's being absorbed, if you will, into a generation and a globalism that is spurred on by the global gullibility of those who will not stand alone. Though they've chosen to reject God, they've chosen to reject God's word, and they've chosen to stand against what is right. That's why we're living in a world today where they call evil good and good evil. You see, they don't want you to know what's right, and they're teaching not what is right.
Today, please stay tuned as Pastor Don lets you know how you can become a child of the one true King.
Sisters, as you've listened to our message tonight, you've heard the Word of God preached. And we pray that you would respond to God's Word. God says His Word never goes out void. It always goes out with intent. And the intent is to reach the heart of men and women and children, just like all of y'all who've listened tonight. I wonder, as you've listened, did God prick your heart? Did God speak to you tonight? And if he did, you need to respond. Perhaps you've never come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior. If that describes you tonight, you might want to pray a prayer such as this. Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Lord, I cannot save myself. But Father, you have said that you gave your one and only begotten Son to die on Calvary's cross to pay the price for my sin. Lord, tonight I am coming, repenting of my sin, and I am putting my faith and trust in the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, wash me of my sins and cleanse me. Save me, and I want to thank you for saving me, Jesus. In your name I pray, amen. And if you prayed that prayer tonight, I want you to know that God has indeed, in Jesus Christ, saved you from your sins. Heaven is now your home. You no longer have to worry about hell. But if you made a decision tonight to receive Christ as your Savior, would you please contact us here at the church? There are various ways you can do that on the screen. Also, if you're a Christian tonight and you have strayed, the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You just tell God all about it and God will take care of you. Thank you again for joining us tonight. We'll see you next week.